This evening's title is, Are You in Prison? A lot of people live in outside of the prison's environment, but still they are inside a prison. What do I mean? Let me put it this way. Bitterness is the warden of this prison, and the discouragement is the guard of this prison. This is a rather unique prison, spiritual prison. The special thing about this prison is the inmate get to keep the key to get out. However, they choose to not to get out. And sometimes they are almost enjoying the being inside the prison. However, this prison is worse than physical prison you will find at the south end of Wilmot Road or those Florence. This bitterness continues. If it continues, the wall of the prison gets thicker, it gets higher, and the door, the gate, becomes smaller and smaller each day. While the person inside the prison still holding the key to get out. Anytime they choose to get out, they can get out. But they choose not to get out. Bitterness is not a voodoo doll. You know, you guys know the voodoo doll, right? The idea is you poke that voodoo doll representing somebody, you poke that thing with a pin that's the other person supposed to be hurting. The bitterness is not a voodoo doll. Excuse me. Blame on the Pastor Robert for my sore throat. It's not like a voodoo doll with a death spell. Just because we have that death spell against that somebody, that doesn't mean that that person is going to suffer. Problem is that the other person may not even know that you have a bitterness against that person. And they're doing just fine. So because they are doing just fine, guess what? You are angry at God more than ever before because how come you are not punishing that person? See, we get all twisted when we have a bitterness. The word bitterness comes from the embitter, and which means anger has taken a root. And Webster's dictionary defines characterized by the showing intense hostility, resentful, and cynical. The word bitterness mentioned in the Bible, whenever bitterness mentioned in the Bible, this kind of word accompanies that word. Captive to sin, full of cursing, rage, anger, growling, slander, along with every form of malice. So bitterness does not carry good company. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. Help us understand about this bitterness. This is not coming from you. This is coming from Satan. And sometimes we, without realizing, we fall into his trap. Let us not be bitter. Let us be joyful in the Lord because you gave us joy and hope and goodness and love. Teach us tonight. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a perfect recipe. The ladies who, or the guys, like a Troy who loved to cook, this is a great recipe for the bitterness. So try it if you want it. But I don't recommend. First of all, put yourself in isolation. That's the foremost important thing. And add a good measure of self-pity, a couple cups of unforgiveness, sprinkle with a half pound of the selfishness, and box full of pride. And stir up on top of your hot anger slowly. It will be the perfect bitterness that will last for decades. We just slowly stir that thing in our heart and make sure it doesn't go away. You might say, well, I am the victim of this situation, so I am bitter. You know what? I'm not disagreeing with you. I've been in situations that I could be bitter, and I was bitter. It's one thing to be a big victim. It's a completely another thing to have a victim's attitude. You know what I'm talking about? Victim's attitude coming from the pride. Thinking that I should be treated better, and God is not doing mere justice. Victim's attitude, we are dwelling over that past thing. What did I tell you guys before? Can you do anything about past? Not a thing. If the past is some sort of the piece of paper, you cannot do anything with that because you can't even blow your nose with that thing because it's too thick to blow your nose. It really doesn't do any good for you. Past is a past. You cannot do a thing, and you cannot do anything about future either, because if you dwell on the future, what if, then you're going to have also, you're going to have anxiety in your heart. And Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart brings the depression, but good word bring happiness. So it is important for us to think about what we are supposed to do now. Not future, not past. So it is important for us to remember we should not have a victim's attitude. Some of you guys might think that I don't have a victim's attitude. I don't have bitterness, all right? Let's put it this way. What if I remind you your boss at work, the one who pick on you all the time for no reason? Or how about the one ex-wife? Am I coming too close? Or ex-husband? When I said that last night at the Calvary Tucson, I could hear people say, I was hitting a little too close to home. How about we are thinking about this kind of, can you come up with any name? That whenever you think about that person's name, that gall in your stomach coming up, and your upper lips get called off like this. And you cannot stand that person's sight or even thinking about it. If you feel that way, you have a bitterness in your heart. How do I know? As I told you before, I had it. So I know what it's like. Was I happy? No, absolutely not. I was not happy. I was dwelling inside the prison, even though I had the key to get out. I chose not to get out because I was enjoying that bitterness. If you have a bitterness in your heart, let me tell you very clearly, is you are in process of murdering that person with your emotion. We studied about that from the Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. We are killing that person with our heart. As I said, I'm not denying that you are the victim, but you don't have to remain as a victim all the time. Then you become having a victim's attitude. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Everybody has a Bible? Good. Our worship leader didn't have a Bible. That's good. The heart knows its own bitterness, and the stranger does not share its joy. Let's go to another verse. Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Verse 8. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm. Isn't the Bible true? It only causes harm to us, not somebody else. I found the seven areas that we are losing in a losing battle if we hold the bitterness against somebody. The consequences of the bitterness, I find, number one is, while we're holding the bitterness, we are disobeying the word of God. That's number one. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans 12, which is the fifth book of the New Testament. Romans 12, verse 18. This is the word of God, and this is a commandment from Him. If it's possible, Romans 12, 18, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. on the line as much as it depends on you and on the line if it's possible. It didn't say flat out, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because there are some people who would not have a peace with anyone. No matter what you try to do, that person is just being a plain jerk. And that person will not do anything for you and to make a peace with you. However, what you're supposed to do is you make a peace with that person. What if that person doesn't accept? You forgive that person, walk away. If you do that, you're doing what you're supposed to do and God accepts it. And don't dwell on that person's response. If you depend on that person's response, you are not going to make a peace with that person because that person will fight. So if you can make a peace with the person, please do so. If that person chooses not to do it, you just do it your part and you walk away. Second point, second area I find it is when we hold bitterness in our heart is robbing ourselves from the joy of the Lord. Robbing ourselves from the joy of the Lord. Because we cannot have a peace and joy only comes from God while we are holding the bitterness. We cannot have a boast, ladies and gentlemen. If the bitterness comes in our heart, joy and the peace goes out the window. Just like we cannot have a faith in God and the trust in God. We cannot have both. Doubt and the faith don't exist together. They're mutually exclusive. And same thing with the joy and peace against bitterness. Third thing I find is while we're holding the bitterness is hurting our testimony of Jesus Christ to the non-believers around us. What do I mean? If I hold the bitterness against Spoon, since he's sleeping, let's pick on him. If I hold a grudge against him, bitterness against him, most likely my attitude will show. I'll be cynical against him. I'll show the nasty attitude toward him. I love you, Spoon. I don't have anything against you. Anyway, then the people around me will notice my nasty attitude and cynical remark. And that does not bring good testimony. As we prayed before this study start, we are to be the ambassador of Jesus Christ. Ambassador is not supposed to go berserk with his own emotion, but is simply representing Jesus Christ. Fourth point I find is, while we're holding the bitterness, we cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit. While we're holding the bitterness, we cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit. I find, of course, you guys thinking about Galatians chapter 5, verse 20-23. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20-23. This is one verse I'm going to recommend. It's one of those verses I'm going to recommend you remember it, memorize. Galatians 5, 20-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy. Continue. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against this, there is no law. Fifth area that we find is the consequences of bitterness is our prayer suffer. When we hold the bitterness against somebody, our prayer suffers. What do I mean? Let's go to the Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6. Verse 14. Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Would you underline, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses? That means if I am holding the grudge against somebody, Tiffany, since I don't spoon, let's go this way. Feel better, Spoon? Okay, there we go. If I hold a grudge and bitterness against Tiffany, then my sin is still remain. God is not listening. And God will not forgive my sin because I'm not forgiving her. We often ask God justice to somebody else. Yet, we ask God mercy on me. Don't we do that? Be hard on other people, but yet we are asking for be easy on us. It doesn't work that way. As much as we dish out to the other people, the mercy we dish out, that's the same measure God's going to use to us. So if we are asking a lot of mercy from God, we should dish out a lot of mercy to other people. That's something I'm learning as I grow older in the Lord. If I want a mercy from God, and that I need a lot, so I have to dish out a lot of mercy to other people. Sixth area that I find, you know, if we hold bitterness, the consequence is bitterness even changes out our outward appearance. Have you ever seen people who walk around with a deep, deep line here and drooping face and frowning between their eyebrows while they're even sleeping? They're so angry at everybody around the world and around them. It makes a difference. I mean, it shows on their face. I don't think it's necessary for us to do that. I don't think there is enough oil of love will help that person's face. So it's better to be happy and better to have a joy in the Lord than holding the grudge against somebody else. The last one I find, if we hold a bitterness against somebody, it isolates us. It isolates us. Remember the recipe I had talked about, the bitterness? What was the first one? Isolation. Some of you guys are really good at barbecue. No name mentioned the one guy sitting over there. Troy is really good at barbecuing. That's his expertise. Do you use a gas grill or charcoal? Gas grill. He find the easy way. I'm not good at doing any cooking. I can make a sushi. But one thing I learned is you have to pile up this charcoal together. Isn't that right? You have to pile up like a mountain. And then you spray that thingy. And you laugh. Why are you laughing at my technical term? It's a difficult technical term. Thingy. Yeah, whatever. Everybody got it. That's why you're laughing at it. So you light up the fire, and there is a big fire, and the charcoal turning into white and burning hot. Now, pick one of the charcoal with a thong and put it aside. What happened? That white charcoal turned into black, and eventually it become cold. What happened? It stayed away from the fellowship. And no longer has a hot zeal for God, and all of a sudden you become cold toward God. One of the tactics that Satan uses is isolation, guys. When you hold a bitterness against somebody and he will whisper in your eyes, his demons will whisper in your eyes, you know what, you deserve better than that. You don't need to go to church. Have you ever heard that kind of whisper in your ear before? So you stay away from the church, you stay away from fellowship. Guess what happened? All of a sudden, you just bite the bait from the Satan. Bait is not a sin. Biting is. Let me repeat it. Bait is not sin, but biting is. So we have that bait in our mouth. It's not just bait. Behind that bait, there's a, and then pretty soon there's a line and a sinker. When we stay away from the fellowship, we become isolated, and Satan will take us out cold. It is important for us to stay in the fellowship. All right, let's find the example in the Bible. Who would be bitter, but yet came out high? I find that person is Joseph. This man, he had 10 brothers whom didn't like him at all because Joseph was God's anointed. And one day they stuck him in this deep well, let him die there. And they saw this Ishmaelite caravan coming over, and they were the slave traders. So one of the brothers, Judah, said, "Let's not kill him. After all, he's our brother. Let's sell him. We are Jews. Make money off him." If you're a Jew, sorry, no offense. So he did that, and they sold him. And he ended up in the Potiphar's house, who is the captain of the Egyptian pharaohs. And pretty soon, then he found a favor in the captain's eyes, and he took over everything. Same time, there was a problem occurred. Captain's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, has longing eyes toward this good-looking guy. You guys know the story. And she threw the phony attempt rape charge against him, and he was end up in the prison. For 2 years, he stuck inside, and when one day he interpreted the dream of his cellmates, and one of them got out, cupbearer got out, and the baker got killed. Cupbearer forgot about him promptly and stayed there again for length of time. One day Pharaoh had a dream and nobody could interpret it except Joseph. Cupbearer remembered and brought Joseph out. And after he interpreted the dream, he became a second in command. That's where we find him. But now this time, these 10 brothers came because of the great famine around their wall. And they all came with a bag in their hand and a head in their hands and saying, "Oh, have mercy on us, give us food." Now, if it's me, I would say, grind the axe, sharpen the sword edge, and let's chop this guy's head off. No, make it more painful, let's skin him alive with a dull butter knife. That would be my idea. But this guy had a better idea. We find him in verse 18 of chapter 50 in Genesis. Let's go there. Chapter 50, verse 18. Yeah, 50. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. This is after Jacob, their father, died. Now they're thinking, "Oh boy, Joseph's going to kill us." Before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? As for you, underline, you meant evil against me, underline, but God." That is extremely important word, but God. "You meant evil against me, but God. Meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph could not say this kind of thing unless he learned not to be bitter and completely trust God's sovereignty. What do I mean, God's sovereignty? Trusting God's sovereignty means we believe that God is in complete control. We cannot believe God and say, "You know what? God really cannot handle this. I gotta take over." Do we really think that we can handle the situation better than God? Now talk back to me. Are you guys awake? Can we handle the situation better than God? Then why we keep on taking the situation back? We come to Him to the foot of the cross with this problem we have. We lay on the bottom of the cross and we cry out to Him. After we finish our prayer, we pick it up and carry it all over again. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we think that we can do a better job than God? trusting God's sovereignty means we leave that problem on His shoulder. His shoulder is much, much bigger than our shoulder that He can carry. Trusting sovereignty means we are losing the control. Trusting sovereignty means we back away and step back and let Him do. And realizing that whatever the situation is, but God. If I can summarize the entire Bible, you heard this story before, so it is so good that I'm going to use it again, and I'm sure I will use it more often. If I can summarize the entire Bible in two words, that would be, but God. Why? We make a mess. We make a mess in just about everything we touch. By grace of God, we do something good, time to time. We make a mess from the day one. Adam made a mess, but God. So I can even say the gospel of Jesus Christ is about God. We have sinned and we are supposed to go to hell, but God saved us. So this word is very important. By the way, until Joseph became a second in command, do you know how long it took? From the day he got sold as a slave until he became a second in command? Some Bible teachers says that between 17 to 20 years. Did God answer right away? No, absolutely not. And so some of your prayer may not go answered, but it will be answered. As a matter of fact, each prayer was asked, as I said before, answered right away. Yes, no, wait. Not now. That's one thing we don't care for, right? I prefer to know now, preferably yes. But he says no. A lot of times because it's not good for us. And even though the answer might be yes, he say, not now. Why? We'll get there. Let's make applications. Two of them. This first one is a profound application that you won't hear from anyone else except me. If you believe that, I have beachfront to sell it to you around Tucson. Now, best way to eliminate bitterness is what? Give. Best way to eliminate bitterness is to forgive. Make a peace. Spiritual prison, if you are being in a spiritual prison, it's not bad enough that this bitterness can turn into cancer-like disease inside of our heart and eat us from inside out. And the outside is already, we are inside of spiritual prison. So that's not bad enough. It is eat us inside. Some people may say, hey, preacher, I cannot forgive that person. You don't know what that person did to me. You know what? I'm not disagreeing with you. Probably that person did a horrible thing to you. However, our command, the command from to us is forgive. Let's go back to the two most important commands from God. What is the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Second command is what? I can hear you. Good. Love your neighbor as yourself. Did he say, except that jerk, that woman, that guy? Did he say that? Or he just flat out said, love your neighbors? That means everyone. That means the guy who cut you off in front of you on the road and flipped his hand gesture to you and give you a hard time at work, or your in-law, or your stepchild, or step-parents, or even your parents, or even your spouse. Whoever that person is, our job is to forgive. Our job is to make a peace with that person. Let me put it this way. While we are still yet sinners, He sent His Son, Romans 5:8 says. And James 1:2-4 says, while we are going through the trials, count it as what? Joy. God's got to be out of His mind to say that kind of thing. why we are counted as joy when we go through trial. Because while we're going through trials, perseverance brings the character, 1 Peter says. And because He wants us to be like Jesus Christ, same character like Jesus Christ, He allowed us to go through that trial. While we're going through trial, we learn to be like Jesus. If we don't overcome bitterness, guess what, guys? We fall right into the hands of Satan and outwit by him. 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. Chapter 2. Now when you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We should not be outwitted by Satan because we don't forgive people. William authored word in his fine book, in the Thoughts of the A Christian Optimist, he said, we are like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive. God's grace is there to forgive us from the sin, and he didn't hold anything back. So we should not hold anything back either. Let's go to the Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians is a couple books behind of 2 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 13. Colossians is a couple books behind. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Second application I find is joy in the Lord. How we are going to have a joy in the Lord? As I said before, holding bitterness in our heart is going against God's sovereignty. Even though situation might be terrible and you are unjusted, I have to recommend you to understand God is in control. I remind you, God is in control. Again, I remind you, God is in control. We have to remind ourselves that all the time. When the situation is dark and it seems like you are in the middle of the dark, long tunnel, and all of a sudden you see the light, so you thought, oh yeah, that is great. We are end of this dark tunnel. And realize there's an incoming train. This situation seems like it goes from the bad to worse. Still, God is in control. Apostle Paul went on the three missionary journeys. The last one he went on is to the Rome. All expense paid by the Roman government. Sounds good, doesn't it? All expense paid. Actually, it was courtesy of the Department of Correction of the Roman government. He was a prison inmate. And he was stuck in this dungeon, in the house, and then dungeon for over 2 years. Chained to the guard for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He did not know whether he's going to live another day. He did not know whether he's going to see another sunlight next morning. With a flip of his thumb of the Emperor Nero, his head would literally roll. During that time, he wrote three epistles. One of them we cherish is Philippians. When we read the Philippians, if we don't know anything about the Apostle Paul's situation, we would think that this guy is sitting in the tropical beach and just polished up 12-ounce prime rib with a hot baked potato, a lot of butter, and vegetables just to keep the diet going, and a tall glass of iced tea. Seems like he just had it thing down. No, he was in dungeon and he did not know whether he's going to live another day. Yet he wrote a book that brings such an inexpressible joy to all of us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, please. This is another verse that I highly recommend you to memorize. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Are you there? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. Do you find anywhere in that portion rejoice in the Lord sometimes? Or if you feel like, if the circumstance allows you? It says always. Again, I say rejoice. This is not a recommendation, ladies and gentlemen. This is a commandment. That means we have to rejoice. Why? How can we rejoice when the situation is dark and gloomy and bad? Because we trust in the sovereignty of God. He allowed the things to come to us. That means He knows that we can handle it. May I remind you, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has come upon us that is not common to us. What does it say? And he said he will give us a way to escape. And just the right size in temptation to bear it. So you can be bitter rest of your life against the Word of God, against everyone around you, or you can be better in the Lord. You can be a victim. Have a victim's attitude the rest of your life, or you can be a victor in Christ Jesus. Okay, so who gets to choose that? You and me. It's our choice, not God's choice. God gave us a choice. We can stay bitter or better, or we can be victim, or we can be victor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a difficult thing for us to